So just to recap then, where we were on Friday night, we was looking at the glory of the cross. This morning we've had the story told to us about the resurrection, the empty tomb. And we've heard the fact that Jesus is God. And so on Friday we was looking about the fact that God was glorified in the cross because Jesus is God, God in all his glory. Jesus was in that glory. He came to earth, veiled in flesh. He died, and we saw something of God's glory at Calvary on the cross where Jesus died. Not the place that we would normally associate glory with, but when we look at it in terms of who Jesus was, and where he'd come from, we could see the fact that God was glorified in his Son. And we'll read a few verses in a moment from John, as we did on Friday evening, about the fact that Jesus has glorified his Father and his Father has been glorified in him. And this morning I want to look at the fact that we see the glory in the resurrection. Easter Sunday is that special day, isn't it? As we've been reminded this morning, we have a mini Easter each Sunday as we come around the Lord's table. It's not a mini Easter egg. It's a fact that Jesus died, rose again. We remember it on a Sunday morning as we come around the Lord's table. But we have a glory in his resurrection. Just as we've seen the glory of the cross, we see God being glorified in Jesus' resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. We might not fully understand the glory of who Jesus is. We see in part at the moment, but one day we will see him face to face. And so as we consider this time, as we consider the sacrifice that was made, the glory of God, when the sacrifices in the Old Testament, if you remember, we spoke about the fact in the Old Testament when Solomon, his temple was completed, they sacrificed immeasurably. And then God came and dwelt in that place. And then we look at the cross and we see that immeasurable sacrifice. God veiled in flesh, but to this morning, we see the resurrected glory of Jesus Christ. He rose again, just as he promised, just as he said, he rose again. And so we celebrate today the glory of his resurrection. First, we see the fulfillment of God's word in the fact that Jesus has conquered the enemy. He had triumphed over the grave. Surely this brings glory to our God. In our own understanding and our own thinking, we think about glory as something which is exciting, which is part of victory and so on. And when we look at the resurrection, we see this. We see the victory. We see the victory of the cross, but we see the victory of his resurrection. He has triumphed over the grave. Certainly there is glory in victory and in Jesus and in his resurrection. It was the evidence of the victory. Therefore, we see his glory in his resurrection. We see the fulfillment of Scripture. We see the fulfillment of the promise that God has made through his Son Jesus. He is risen. He is victorious over death. Remember the words of Jesus in his prayer to his Father. We read it on Friday. We read it again. He says in John 17, verse 1 to 5, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. We see the glory of the finished work. The glory in the fact that he was always with his Father. The glory of the resurrection. We see something of the glory or the triumphing over death. And in the Old Testament, Moses sung a song when they had been delivered from Egypt. There was a celebration because they'd been delivered from the bondage. They'd been delivered from that regime, that evil regime that they lived under. They knew a glory from death, a physical death. And so Moses writes this song and sings this song, have it recorded for us in Exodus chapter 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, I will praise him. My Father's God, I will exalt him. This is a song they sang when they were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And while today we don't have a song necessarily composed and sung when Jesus rose, but we can sing this song. We have been delivered from death into life. Because of the glory of resurrection, because of the glory of the cross, because Jesus has risen again, we can rise and sing. We have salvation in our God. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, I will exalt him. We can do that this morning when we look at the empty tomb. But we don't just look at an empty tomb. We look at the resurrected Christ. We see the glory in Christ Jesus. The work of redemption was completed at Calvary. There's nothing else to do. There's no additional work. The work is complete at Calvary. But then we see the evidence of the completed work in the glory of the resurrection. Remember, Jesus said on many occasions that he would rise again on the third day. Have recorded for us in Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Then he took his 12 aside and said to them, behold, we're going to Jerusalem. This is before he's crucified. And so we're going to Jerusalem. All those things are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles. He will be mocked and insulted, spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, foretelling what's going to happen. But the affirmative is that he will arise again. And we can glory in his resurrection. Then after his resurrection, the angels declared that he had risen. We've had the story told of us how the women, the disciples, they went to the tomb. And Luke 24 verse 4 says, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Jesus has risen. He is glorified in his Father in the resurrection. So then the glory of the resurrection first is that he has fulfilled his word. The glory of the resurrection speaks of his total authority over death. Jesus again speaks of the fact that he was in total control at the cross and his resurrection. When we read the narrative, it would almost seem as if the enemy has won. It almost seemed that Jesus has been defeated. It almost seems as if, well, it's all over now. And even those followers who were there with him at the time may have thought the same. It is all finished. But Jesus was in total control throughout. John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Here we see Jesus in total control. He has total authority over all that is happening here. God allowed allowed for him to be taken. God allowed for him to be crucified. But in all his authority, he laid down his own life. The glory of the cross is defined in his authority over death. But in his resurrection, we see a glorious victory. He made an open show of the enemy. I don't know about you, but it's always good to see some sort of victory of a fight, isn't it? You know, when we watch things on television and the underdog seems to be the one who has victory and wins. Or if we're watching a game or of rugby or football, it's great to see victory. Get excited about victory. But Jesus, he was victorious over death and he made a public spectacle of it. And Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, reminds them that it is not about legalism, but about the grace of God demonstrated in the resurrection of his son Jesus, who was victorious. When we see the cross, when we see the tomb, we see the grace of God. We see his love, we see his mercy that is shown to all of mankind. It's shown to each one of us here gathered this morning. His grace and his mercy. And on the cross and in the tomb, the empty tomb, in the rising again, we see the glory of Jesus. We see the victory. And in Colossians, it says this. Colossians 2, and I love this passage of scripture. Verse 13. And you being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having it nailed to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. There is no better way of describing for me the victory of the cross. It was nailed to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers. And he made a public spectacle of it because he rose triumphing. He was alive. He is risen. And we could know something of this resurrected life right now because of the authority that Jesus had. Glory in his victory. What else do we see in the glory of the resurrection? Well, the glory of the resurrection brings new life. It might seem obvious that once he was dead, Jesus was dead, now he's alive. It might seem obvious to say that he brings new life, but he brings new life to the whosoever. Remember the verse that speaks about the seed entering the ground in John chapter 12, when Jesus is speaking and he says, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Also, remember when Jesus was called to heal Lazarus. But because he delayed, Lazarus dies. And on Jesus' arrival there, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 3 days. But when questioned, Jesus speaks to them about the resurrection. John chapter 11, 24. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to her, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. In the resurrection, we have life. In the resurrection, we have new life. In the resurrection, we have eternal life. The strange thing is, mankind, you and I, were dead in trespasses and sin. How do we come out of that state of death to be alive? It is by resurrection. A spiritual resurrection, because Jesus has risen, the resurrected Lord. And you and I today know what it is to live a resurrected life. So then the glory of resurrection brings salvation. A resurrection from a spiritual death. Salvation brings glory to the resurrection, inasmuch as the glory of the cross is outworked in men and women in their salvation. We see in the resurrection new life. Jesus rose again. He was not the same. He lived in a glorified body. Remember, after his resurrection, he appeared to many. And often he just appeared. In closed rooms he appeared. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day as an evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands, his side. Then his disciples were glad they saw the Lord. Remember on the road to Emmaus, the two who were walking home, having seen what had happened, they were in distress. They were concerned. Luke chapter 24, verse 15, and then verse 30. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Then there's a whole conversation that takes place between them and him. And then finally it says he comes into their house, and it says, and it came to pass, as he set up meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So in the resurrection we see new life. In the glory of his resurrection, it enables man to know the same resurrection. Not in a physical form, but spiritually. Because of resurrection, one day we will know also what it is to be raised. We will know what it is one day to be with him. A new body in a new heaven, in a place prepared for us. Remember again the words that Jesus speaks to Mary. I'm going to read it again. John chapter 11 was the point when Lazarus was raised. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." She knew that. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die," we will die, "he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? She said to him, "Jesus, Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into this world." Today, this very day, when we remember the resurrection of Jesus, we can also say with Mary, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world." Here Jesus speaks of the resurrection, that man will know if we believe on him. Peter encourages the church with these words in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope." How? "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Take those words on board. A living hope. A living hope how? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then a little later in that same chapter in Peter, he says this: "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold." Here he's alluding to the fact that people can be bought and paid for and redeemed and so on. "From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Therefore, we will know in the last day what it is to rise and to be with him. The dead first, then we who remain will alive. We have this promise recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians and in other places, but in this passage it says, 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Truly, as we look at the resurrection, we see a glorious victory. But we also see the evidence of the work which will lead to our resurrection. We in part can enjoy the provision of the cross, the resurrection. But the promise is that we will be with him eternally. As we look to the glory of the cross and the resurrection, we also see the glory that one day we will also be glorified. We will have a new body. We will be made perfect. And so to conclude, we today are reminded of Jesus being glorified in his resurrection. And by this we can now live in the resurrected life and know something of the provision that the cross opens up to us. We can glory in his death. We can glory in his resurrection. But we also can know something of that resurrected life here and now. We are born again. I'm going to read from Ephesians. It's a longest passage, but I just want to close with these words from Ephesians chapter 2. And it reminds us something of God's mercy, his glory, his provision for each one of us, which we can receive today. It reminds us of who we are in Christ. And it begins, "And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And then going on to verse 14. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is in the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We truly see the glory of the cross. We truly see the glory of his resurrection. And we today enjoy and receive of the promise. And we as we come to him, and we declare, just as Mary did, I believe you are the Christ. I believe that you have taken my sins upon yourself and made a public spectacle of them. I believe because of your resurrection, I can know new birth, and I can know that saving grace and mercy that comes from God. And we together can declare, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen.